everybody. It's Monday.
Yep, and this is the pilot episode of our discussions and reviews and investigations of cases that came off the haunting. Classic haunting
series. I think what we're going to do, like I said, is just do one every week. We'll do a Haunting Mondays. I should have probably made like a new little intro, but I mean, I could just put, I'll just get around to it. I didn't really think about it until today. That's how we do shit around here. We just kind of like do everything at the last minute.
All that fancy shit.
Yeah. But I mean, we just like thought of this idea the other day. Yeah. It's like, oh, let's start doing like a haunting episode a week, like, on one of the matinees, because so many people like ask us about doing those and we haven't, when we still have so many.
Yeah. And if the show gets a good response, maybe we'll add a day or we'll, you know. If it gets a bad response, we'll drop it. We'll come up with something else.
Yeah.
But I think this would be a good idea.
Yeah, I'm just saying we've had so many people, like... Yeah. I've had so many people, like, message me and, like, want to do, like, get back to doing some haunting episodes.
Yeah, and then, you know, there's a lot of people saying, hey, you know, you've been on true crime and this and that. What happened to paranormal? You know, so this is a way of fucking killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, hopefully we'll kind of, like...
Yeah.
Fill in some of that gap.
Right.
So, yeah, so I had bought Tom a long time ago. We had, like, the, you know, the box set of the first four seasons. We have some of the other seasons, too. I think you can watch a bunch of them for free on, like, Pluto.
I think we have a total of six to eight seasons.
We should check Pluto as well. Even though, like, honestly, we kind of like the early ones, like, the first, like, six seasons or so, I think are the best ones. Like, after that, I haven't seen any recent ones, but I kind of feel like after season five or six, they started going a little too ludicrous.
Well, I think it started to hurt for cases.
Yeah, so I kind of feel
And then the company changed hands. The franchise changed hands, and they were just hurting for more and more cases.
Yeah.
So they would take cases that were a little kind of iffy. Although, you know, in the series, a lot of the cases are kind of samey. But that's okay, because that kind of fits with actual reports. There is a pattern to them. And, you know, I've seen paranormal stuff. Poltergeist, classic Poltergeist, RSPK, if you're new to the show. Wrote a book about it and everything. Jenny wrote the book based on me and my family and everything that we went through, which is different. It's not like a haunting, similar, but more movement of objects. But we'll get around to that eventually one day, too. I actually, The Haunting wanted to actually put my case on there. But Lois and Red were fucking going through a hard time, and they didn't want to be on TV. So,
but yeah, we talked to the producers like for back and forth like for a while, but we tried to like convince Lois and Red to do it.
I was like, "Come on, let's do it." They were like,
but they didn't want to be on TV.
You know, people in our family, and
they're like, everyone will laugh at us,
and then Red died.
I mean, they could have been on, but like they could have been on in shadow, I guess. Yeah. Like, if they were really... Because we watched one last night where the guy was, like, in shadow and didn't want his real name on there. Some of the people do that.
Well, they also wanted to film in Lois's and Red's apartment. They didn't want anybody in their apartment. And I didn't know why, but that apartment was jam-packed full of fucking musical instruments.
Yeah.
Because Red had an electric guitar collection that was, like, famous people's guitars. Like, he had a couple of Stevie Ray Vaughan guitars. I don't think he had a Jimi Hendrix, but these things were worth fucking tens of thousands. I think he even had a Randy Rhoads fucking guitar. And he wheeled and dealed from him. He got into the fucking exotic guitar trade. I don't know what happened to all those. I guess Wesley got them. I don't even know if they're worth money anymore. I don't know. People collect guitars from rock stars.
Yeah, of course they do.
Do they? Okay.
People collect all kinds of things.
Back in the 70s or 80s, that shit was a big deal. But yeah, he has it. So the place was filled with fucking... He was a music teacher, and the place was just filled to the ceilings full of fucking guitar cases. So it probably looked like a hoarder's house in there.
Danny Rowling said the Lakeshore Club episode. Yeah, I remember that one in season one of A Haunting was a decent. I definitely do want to do that one because that was one that I remembered, like from back when we were watching it all the time. We started watching, we had a disc that had three episodes on it. And the first one that we watched last night, the one that we were going to cover, and we'll probably get around to it at some point, is called The Attic. But then, like, we just went ahead and watched the next one. And the next one, I was kind of like, oh, I think I like this case better. So let's do this one first, because this was kind of one. And as it turned out, it was a little bit easier to find external sources about this case, because the woman at the center of this case actually wrote a book about it as well. So I didn't have a chance to read the whole book, but I read like portions of it, and I read like some reviews of it where people like talked about what was going on in there. So we can kind of talk about the episode, and then I can, because the episode left a lot out, you know, which I guess it always kind of does. But it's weird because the stuff that they left out, I don't know why they would have left it out, because some of it actually would have been pretty exciting, but I don't know. It's just weird. I don't know how they determine.
They're in there talking about who the best episodes are, and that they have. Hugo said he's got the. I think he said, what, the first season? He got that on CD.
He's talking about that movie, The Haunted.
Oh, The Haunted.
Remember we reviewed that one a little while back? That was about that right. True haunting. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that?
So that was
one that was made for TV, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was a pretty good. It was actually a pretty good movie.
It was pretty good.
Made for TV.
Yeah. So the one that we're going to be talking about today is season 4, episode 1, which is called Dark Wrath.
Yeah, and if you don't remember this one, this is the one where the husband fucking bashes his way through the door. Didn't he have an axe?
Yeah, it was
He's
an
doing
axe.
The old, here's Johnny
pulling
routine.
The Jack Torrance, yep.
Yeah, doing a little bit of the Jack Torrance thing. Now, I don't think he got locked up, but they did get divorced afterwards.
Well, they weren't married.
They were married?
No, okay. They weren't. They were just like longtime boyfriend-girlfriend right. situation.
The actor that plays that guy, he comes off as being just fucking shifty as fuck, too. I don't know what that guy was really like.
From what I read about it, like I said, I don't know what his last name was, but from what I read about him, he was much shiftier than they actually portrayed him on the show. Because I kind of feel like on the episode, I think they were trying to make it seem like the house was having more of an effect on him than it did, like, oh, they were normal, like, before they moved into that house, which wasn't exactly true.
Okay.
But we'll kind of get into that.
Yeah, in the episode, the guy that's playing him, I think he's actually a good actor because he comes off being a real slimeball. Yeah, you know.
He does,
yeah.
I think he was in some other episode. Well, because A Haunting, if you watch like any number of episodes, they have like a stable of actors that they use over and over again.
Yeah, the regulars the regulars are great because sometimes they go over the fucking board and you could tell they're just getting ready to bust up. But you know what I mean? You get to know the regulars watching the seasons. It's funny.
Yeah. So you get to recognize it. I was like, hey, it's what's her name from, you know, Where Evil Dwells or whatever. Yeah. It's really
the woman that always plays Lorraine Warren, the smell of sanctity.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's like, yeah, it's exactly some shit that fucking Lorraine Warren would say.
She probably did say that.
She was spraying fucking rose petal spray and shit.
Yeah.
Smelled it?
Yeah. Because that's what I'd be doing.
Yes, the spirits are gone.
Oracle says, waves like crazy at everybody and tells them that the Thai peanut curry in Tom and Jenny's cookbook is amazing.
Oh, thank you, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Because she was telling me she made it, and I was like, oh my God, I love that Thai peanut curry so much. Yeah. It's like so, so good.
Yeah. What country are you in? Who's this?
Oracle. It's Oracle.
Oracle, okay.
Yeah.
She's American.
Murder Hornet says the same producers that did A Haunting made my favorite series Locked Up Abroad. Ooh, I also like that. I also like that series a lot.
Getting locked up and then fucking you're in another country, bad shit happened to you. That's a really good. If you like The Haunting, go check out Locked Up Abroad.
Yeah, Locked Up Abroad. That's like good. Pretty. And it's like pretty much every single person. It's like, well, I was just trying to like, you know, smuggle a few grams of cocaine up my butt and then like I'm going into like Turkey or somewhere and like they got caught.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well,
yeah, or people getting locked up by terrorists and stuff.
Yeah, that happens too. But I mean, I feel like 85-90% of it, it's drug smuggled. Little drug smuggled. Yeah. Not like
college girls trying to sneak shit into fucking Thailand.
Yeah, shit like that. And then they get caught.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. So this episode is called Dark Wrath. I had actually forgotten which one this was until we started watching. I was like, oh, this is the one with the potential axe murderer guy. Okay, I remember this.
It's a good episode.
Yeah. So the woman at the center of this, and this is her real name, is Cindy Saro. I think it's Saro. S-A-R-R-O was how Saro or Saro. I'm not really sure. I think they said Saro on the show. Because like I said, some of the episodes that we watched, like one of the ones that I was thinking about doing, the guy was in shadow and he was like using a pseudonym because he didn't want to like his identity to be known. But I feel like most of the people, you know, that's their real identity. So when I looked at this woman, yeah, that was her real identity. Now, at the beginning of the show, when they do the little recap or whatever, it says that Cindy had a boyfriend named Jake and that he had surprised her and their two daughters with a new house You know, which is all fantastic and everything, but you know, they pay all this money, but then like all this crazy like supernatural shit starts happening in there, and then it's implied that like the house or whatever is in the house like starts to possess Jake and makes him like kind of like murderous a little bit.
Yeah, when they saw the house, the girls didn't really like it. It was on a big piece of property though.
Yeah,
and it was close to her mom's house, so yeah, kind of local for them. But the house that they showed in the series is actually a pretty decent looking country house. I don't know what it really looked like, but evidently she didn't like it.
I imagine that like on this show, I think they usually
a lot nicer. Yeah.
It's yeah. What the houses they put on the show are usually like a lot nicer than the actual houses.
Yeah, like Summerwind was a fucking dump.
I mean, it wasn't livable.
Yeah, you could.
And the thing about like when we did the show, but I think we talked about this when we talked about Summerwind. But I was like, when you look at actual pictures of Summerwind, like what it looked like when they would have bought it.
Yeah,
I was just kind of like, what? Like you wouldn't be able to live in it even like without millions of dollars of renovations.
Getting ready to fall out.
It was just like falling apart.
Yeah.
Like whereas in the episode, it's like it looked kind of in rough shape but decent, like you could still live in it like when it was fixed up, but the Real House absolutely did not look like that. It looked like a complete
you can find
dump.
Pictures of it online.
Yeah, it just looked like it was falling apart.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will note that, like I said, the woman at the center of this who tells most of the story, I think one of her kids is on there too, like older, and Cindy Sero actually wrote a book that I found, and it's called The Wall: A Horrifying True Tale, not Pink Floyd The Wall, but A Horrifying True Tale of a Haunting. She wrote it in 2005 about this experience. Now, I read the first few pages of it because that's all it's available, like on, because she doesn't have like an ebook or anything like that. It's just like a paperback. And on Amazon, you can read the first few pages. And I read like some of the reviews. Pretty much all of the reviews were like, oh my God, the grammar and spelling and everything is atrocious in this, which it is. I've read worse, but it's still like not great.
Yeah, Jenny's an author, okay? And she's a grammar Nazi.
I am.
Yeah, that's one thing she's known for. Damn, that shit's fucking written well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. And I'm just kind of like, man, this was just like, it seemed like, well, the way she wrote it, it wasn't awful. It was just the way she wrote it was like kind of like stream of consciousness. Okay. Like she didn't really have like any like editing or any kind of like thing about like sentence structure or anything. Like everything was just kind of run on sentences.
So
and
it's the kind of situation where she's trying to get the story out there, just trying to get the product out there.
Yeah.
Like, she probably just dictated it.
And it's and I think it's pretty short. I think people complained because they're like, oh, this book was so expensive and it was only 99 pages or something like that.
Right.
And I think like a couple of people said that they thought that, and I'm sure this isn't true, but a couple of people said, well, it reads like the woman has like some mental problems or that the people or that her or her boyfriend like were not very sympathetic. You know what I mean? Like the shit that they did. Now the book is called The Wall because I was like,
want to read it.
Well,
because now it sounds like somebody's personal memoir of some weird shit that happened to him. It's just written the way it's written.
Yeah.
Which that's probably what happened. She's just telling you the story.
Yeah.
Which that's kind of like looking at like crime scene photos or something.
Yeah.
Looking at testimony.
Which, like I said,
that's fine.
It's fair enough.
Yeah,
and honestly, I think the best review was 3 stars, and they said, well, it's like a cool story, but like again, the grammar is terrible, and like you can't really enjoy it because it's poorly written. But you
might
know,
be creepy though.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't know if, like, I don't think I would pay, because I think it's kind of expensive. Like I said, all it has is, like, a paperback. It doesn't have, like, like an ebook or anything. Because sometimes
99 pages, a few bucks.
It's not, though. It's expensive.
Okay.
I think, like, somebody said they paid, like, $20 for it or something like that.
Yeah,
which,
yeah,
like,
overpriced.
Yeah, that's crazy. But, like I said, you know, some authors will let you read their books, like, a lot of authors. And I think mine are on there, too. Like, if you want to read the ebook, like, if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can read it for free, which is nice. And, like, a lot of said, like, so ebooks are usually only $2 or $3, like, depending on how long they are. But, yeah, so I was like, so why is this book called The Wall? Because I didn't see anything, like, having to do with the wall, like, in the episode. Apparently what it is, from what I could glean of reviews and, like, just reading a couple pages of it, is that there was something about, like, one section or, like, one spot on one particular wall in the house that she kept, like, fixating on, that everybody was, like, fixating on, and she came to, like, associate it with, that's like the entrance to hell, or that's where everything is coming out. Yeah.
Yes, that's
so
the portal.
They didn't mention that in the episode, so I just thought I would mention that. So like I said, I want to kind of go into the episode, and then at the end I'll say, you know, how it differed from apparently what happened in real life.
Okay.
So this episode takes place, it starts out in 1991. And it's this place called Belleville, Illinois, which is right outside of St. Louis. Like I said, I've never been to Illinois, so I don't really know, like, at that. So Cindy, at this point, is 34 years old and has kind of lived in this little town for a couple of years. Now, right around the time that they were thinking about moving, she starts having, like, recurring nightmares, right? And in this recurring nightmare, she's kind of like walking down these stairs in a house that's not the house that she lives in at the time. And she's like, I just kept feeling like something was after me or was trying to kill me. And I was like, kept having this dream where I was on these stairs in this house that I didn't recognize and that there was something like after me. So at this point, like Cindy, I guess she was like a stay-at-home mom. She had a couple kids. At the time, one of them was 7. In the show, they called her Christy. And then there was a 9-year-old. And in the show, they called her Brooke. Now, these might be pseudonyms, like, for the show. Because in her book, she says the girls' names are Sydney, who's the 9-year-old, and Lindsay, who's the 7-year-old. So, I don't know. I'm assuming she used her kids' real names in the book. And maybe they just changed them for the show because they were minors. But, yeah. So, that's what I'm just going to use the show names because I think that's what I wrote down. So Cindy has this long-term boyfriend named Jake, who's played by, like, that bald, kind of sketchy-looking dude in the episode, who kind of looks like... I mean, yeah, he kind of seems like a jerk from the beginning.
He's kind of like a leaner, pretty muscular Michael Ironside. For some reason, he was reminding me of Michael Ironside.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Like, his face is a little bit, like, narrower and sharper.
Yeah, but he kind of like... Yeah,
but
like,
he kind of... Yeah, he did have some Michael Ironside energy. Yeah, I could see
that. I actually like the actor. I like the actor. I think he makes a good villain.
Yeah.
I think he'd make a good villain, yeah.
He does, yeah. He's probably been in some other haunting episodes.
Yeah, he's in a couple other ones. I just don't remember which ones.
I don't either. Like I said, because we've seen so many of them, and, like, sometimes they overlap.
Yeah.
Zach said, oh, damn, you're doing a haunting again.
Yeah.
I told you I'm friends online with an actor from the show. Like, which one? Because we were just talking, like, before you got here, talked about how they have, like, a stable of actors that keep, like, turning up over and over again. And it's always amusing to be like, hey, it's that guy.
Yeah, I like him,
Yeah, it's like, that's pretty cool.
Where's that raccoon? That guy's in a couple
That guy was in a couple of them,
Yeah.
But, yeah.
There he goes. Hey, yep, thank you. Thank you for sending us money.
Oh, somebody did?
Yeah.
You're a couple. Well, I'm a little bit behind because I'm, like, on a delay.
Shit, man, I can't.
Thank you, Trey.
Yeah.
Yes, I was hoping y'all do a haunting episodes again. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we're going to do at least once a week.
Yeah, we're going to start doing them. Let's just do them on Mondays. That's, like, easier for me to keep track of. Okay. So we'll just do, like, a haunting Mondays. I might even do, like, a little, like I said, like, a little intro to go after the matinee intro. Yeah. So it's like, woo, it's haunting Monday.
Yeah, we're going to try to, you know, spice up our fucking game.
Yeah, there we go.
Like I said,
giving
you guys what you wanted.
So many people have, like, requested that we get back to doing these again.
Yeah, these and paranormal stuff. So, you know, we're going to kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
Yeah, there we go. So Cindy has this boyfriend, Jake. Now, Jake works, like, overnight. They always do, like, on these episodes. No, it's like everybody has night jobs. I guess it's so, like, the women and children can be at home in the house, like, by themselves.
Yeah.
But it always seems like the guy's always gone, or it's like he has a night job or something like that. I'm like, wow, I guess a lot of people work graveyard shifts in this universe. But yeah, so he works a graveyard shift at a chemical plant in St. Louis. Now, I guess, like, both of them, both Cindy and her boyfriend, they both grew up in this town called Caseyville, which is, like, a nearby rural town. Like I said, I've never been to Illinois, so I don't really know. But they've actually been talking about moving back to their hometown, and sort of, like, bringing up their kids there. I don't think they mentioned this on the show, but from what I could figure out from, like, what I read in her book, I think only maybe one of the kids was Jake's. And maybe one of them wasn't. But I apologize if that's not right. But I thought that she implied that she had met Jake when one of the kids was small.
All right.
So I don't know if that's true or not, but that's kind of the impression that I got. So they're talking about bringing up the girls, like, you know, somewhere in their hometown. So Jake, apparently, surprises the family by buying them a house there, which is closer to his work and also closer to Cindy's mom, because Cindy's mom was sick. She had some unspecified degenerative disease. Now, I will say, like, right here from the outset, that even though the show said that Jake bought them the house, like, as a surprise, that is not what happened. Cindy actually bought the house. she had, she was in some kind of accident and had like a really bad back injury, and she got like a large cash settlement, like for the back injury. And she bought the house with that. And actually, matter of fact, Jake didn't really like live with them prior to that. He kind of lived with his parents, and they would kind of move in and out like off and on. But he moved in with them after she bought this house. So I don't know why the show made it seem like he bought it, like without asking her, but she actually bought it, as far as I could determine. Mm. So I'm not really sure why they changed that, but whatever. So they said, okay, so the house was like affordable, but it needed a lot of work. So they had to come up with like some money for that. So the first thing that happens pretty much like after they move in, at least according to the show, is that Cindy is in the kitchen and she's unpacking the dishes and like putting the dishes in the cabinets, like in the kitchen. And one of the cabinet doors basically just like pulls itself off its, the hinges and like flies across the kitchen. And she's just kind of like, huh, well, that's like pretty freaky. But, you know, you wouldn't think that was paranormal necessarily, because you'd be like, oh, it's just like the hinges are broken or some shit like that. But then
I'd have to see it.
Yeah.
You know, I've had things like that happen.
Yeah.
You know, boom, it pulled that shit down.
And like I said, it's hard to say, because in the episode, it's they're reenacting it. So you don't know what it really looked like in real life. Right. It might have just fallen off, you know what I mean? It rather than like on the thing, it was just kind of like, whew, like it kind of flew, like,
yeah.
And she was just kind of like, okay, what the fuck? And then she's like not really thinking about it, but then like another one does the same thing, at which point she calls Jake. She's like, dude, what the, she's like, what's going on with the cabinets? And he's just like, oh, you know, the hinges are just old, you know, I'll fix that, whatever. So then the next thing that happens, Cindy's, like, helping her daughters. They said the house only had two bedrooms, so both the little girls had to sleep in the same room. So she's, like, helping them set up their room, but then the lights start flickering weirdly and, like, buzzing and stuff. And she said she didn't really like the bedroom. She said it was, like, felt really creepy in there. And that was kind of when she first started feeling like something was wrong with the house. The girls also think the room is creepy, and for a long time they're like, we are absolutely not sleeping in there because it's like too spooky, and they want to sleep in the same room with the parents, but you know, obviously they convince them not to, and the girls like grudgingly are kind of like, okay. Now later that night, and this is kind of interesting to me, because remember how I said that Cindy was the one that actually bought the house, and presumably she went and like looked at it and everything like that, because she said she'd been out looking at houses. But she says that after she moved in, at least according to the show, that she didn't realize until after she'd moved in that this house was the house that she had been seeing in her recurring nightmares prior to seeing the house or prior to moving there. Remember how I said like the nightmares started when she had decided to move and when she started looking at houses? And then she started having this recurring dream about this specific house, which she didn't think she'd ever seen before. But then when she moved into this house, the first night, she was like, oh shit, this is the house that's in my nightmares. So that's not good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she basically says that started to freak her out. And then she said that she couldn't really like sleep anymore all that well, because she kept waking up every hour feeling like somebody was watching her, even though she couldn't see anybody. So it was like a really oppressive feeling of like being watched, which like I said is usually something that is happens like early on in these kind of situations. Now the girls at this point, they really don't like sleeping in the room either, so they keep coming in and sleeping in her room, because like I said, she's sleeping in the room by herself because her husband or her boyfriend works at night. So the girls keep coming in there and like, hey, we want to sleep in your bed. And the bed isn't big enough for like three of them. So she's basically like, fine, like let the girls sleep in her bed. And then she goes and sleeps on the couch. And she said that she kept hearing like creaking, like somebody was walking around. And she said it just always felt like somebody was in the house when there wasn't supposed to be anybody in there. And that sometimes it sounded like somebody was walking around, even though nobody was walking around. And she said that this really started to freak her out, because like I said, Jake worked at night. And so they were at home like all night by themselves.
Now,
like,
do we have any
kids.
Details on this? Like how long the noises lasted for?
Not really. It seems like a few weeks. Like, after they moved in, and, like, she just kept saying that she felt like somebody was in the house, and that, like, every now and then what sounded like somebody, like, walking around, like, the floor creaking, and then she'd go in, there wouldn't be anybody there.
Okay, so we're assuming it would be in another room.
Mm-hmm.
and it would sound like a few steps.
Yeah, or like over. Upstairs or something like that, where right. it's like, and then she would okay. go up there and there would
so
be.
So it wasn't hours of it, somebody walking around.
Not that I could determine. Okay. I mean, it all didn't, right. she didn't really specify. Because like I said, you know, sometimes like on some of these episodes.
Yeah, the way it's portrayed.
They try to like kind of compress everything, and sometimes there'll be like a few weeks pass or blah blah blah, but a lot of times it's hard to get a handle on like the time frame, I guess. So that was kind of the thing.
Yeah, and you know, really fucking, you know, having seen this kind of stuff myself, you have to be there to know for sure, you know what I mean? Having somebody just give you a basic description. Yeah, I heard somebody walking around, so I looked. Yeah, but what does that sound like? What is it? How long? You know, you're hearing somebody walking around. What are we talking about? You sat there for 5 minutes listening to somebody walk around for 5 minutes, or you thought you heard somebody take a couple steps and you immediately went up there. You know what I mean? And these programs don't really give you an accurate view of how it actually went down.
Yeah, it's kind of like light on specifics.
Real light on specifics. Like, in some of these cases, I'd like to have been there and witnessed it myself to see exactly what it was they were talking about. Like the cabinet falling apart. Did it just fall, or was it pulled off?
Yeah, did it, like, fly off?
Yeah, right. Yeah, how far did it... How far away did it hit the ground from the... Because I've seen both. I've seen shit happen by accident, and then I've seen paranormal stuff. There's a big difference. Big difference. It just sounds different. It's a lot more violent.
Danny Rowling said, the episode... This is interesting you bring this up. It says, the episode where a single mother and her son move into a haunted house with an evil spirit in the attic and the spirit of a dead junkie that happened to be the father of their neighbors was great. That one's called The Attic, and we watched that one last night. We were actually going to do that one tonight, but today, but then we were like, oh, we'll do that one later on. Because then we watched this one, and I was like, oh, I kind of want to do this
one. Yeah, this one kind of took priority, being a good pilot episode, because more happens in it. It's not as samey as The Attic. The Attic's actually kind of samey if you looked at the story arc.
I did like that episode, though. And we will absolutely get around to it, because, like I said, we did actually just watch that one last night,
too. They were taking pictures of the ghost.
Yeah, that was, I mean...
They show you the pictures of the ghost. They showed reenactments.
Yeah, see, Paranormal Witness, for all its later flaws, actually would usually show you the real shit. Like, if somebody took a picture and said, hey, look, it looks like an orb or whatever the fuck, then they would show you the actual picture, not, like, a cooler-looking, like, reenactment of it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Haunting would show you a better picture.
Yeah.
A cloud with a smile in it. Fucking that kind of shit with eyes, you know. This is what we have. Yeah.
Danny Rowling said, that was a sad episode, kind of. It was, actually. Yeah. Zach said the episode that fucked me up most as a kid was one where the teen girl was being tortured by the burn dude in her closet. The makeup they did on him was so upsetting. I kind of remember that one. Yeah. If we get around to it, I'll let you know. Because like I said,
what season was that?
Yeah.
What name was that?
Yeah. Maybe we'll like narrow it down because like I have to. That sounds vaguely familiar because I think we've seen 95% of the episodes. I'm pretty sure.
I gotta see how many seasons this went on for.
Yeah,
I think I have up to season 7. I think.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm pretty sure most of the other seasons are available like on stream, like on Pluto or something like that. Like I think you can watch them with commercials.
Yeah, I don't think you can get DVDs for them.
No, I think after season 7 they stopped doing DVDs because they're just on streaming. You can just watch them. I'm sure.
More money probably off of streaming. Yeah, than they would.
I mean, I'm sure, like I said, Pluto, I think, has, I don't know how many seasons they have on there, but I think they have them on there. So you can just, like, watch them with commercials. So, okay, so after this point, thank you, Mrs. Evans, Artie Party. Thank you. Love that you guys are doing these again. Hooray! This was a good idea, I guess, wasn't it?
Yep. Well, people were jonesing for paranormal, and they like the hauntings.
And these are actually fun to do.
They're actually good. And each one of these episodes, from especially the first few seasons of The Haunting, were as good as a horror movie.
Yeah, I mean, it really has, like, good production, and the acting in it is good and everything.
Yeah, I mean, they were better than the Amityville Horror, the original movie.
Well, yeah, I would definitely take some of the haunting episodes over some, like, cheaper horror movies I've seen, for sure. You know what I mean? They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
As long as you don't take them too serious, they're just fun. They're fun, and they're kind of, like, relaxing. Yeah. You know what's funny is, like, you know how much you love the score, like, the music for it and everything? You can actually, like, buy the soundtrack album, like, with the guy. I can't remember his name. I meant to, like, write it down. But, like, the guy that does all the incidental music.
There lurks evil.
Like, it's so cool. Yeah. But yeah, okay, so all this stuff's going on with the creaking and the presents and everything like that. So one night, Cindy's talking to her mom, Anita, on the phone. Now, her mom lives in an apartment. The show said across town, but in real life, it was like seriously like a 5-minute walk. Like, you could walk to her house, you know what I mean, from their house. So she calls, and when she's on the phone with her mom, the TV comes on by itself, like, kind of all staticky. And Cindy's like, what the fuck? And so, like, she turns it off, but then it pops back on again, which is something that we had happen at our old house a lot.
There was a whole period of that went on for months.
It would happen, like, every day or every other day, like, for several months. Especially, like, that fucking TV would come on all the time.
And one time it came on in the room we were sleeping.
Yeah. But not usually. It was usually in the living room.
Usually living room. And then when the cable people came, I complained about it. And they looked at me like, that shouldn't happen. I was like, okay.
I was like, but indeed it does happen.
And they were like, do you have a cat walking across a remote or something? I was like, no. And he said, well, what do you think it is? And I said, ghost? And they just laughed.
You're like, no, I'm serious. I think it might be.
Yeah.
Zach says, by the way, the actor on the show I'm friends with is Johnny Alonzo. He has one of his episodes on his YouTube channel, and I talked to him on Instagram. Always has a spiky kind of emo hairstyle. Can't miss him.
All right, tell him we're big fans.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to like look him up now. I'll look on his YouTube channel. So the TV's popping and stuff like that, and she's just kind of like, okay. So the mom's like, well, is something wrong? And she's like, no, everything's fine. Gotta go, bye. So the next morning, I guess, after this phone call and, like, the TV coming on and off, Cindy's out in the front yard gardening, like, you know, planting some flowers or whatever, and she says that some invisible what's-this, like, came up and pushed her so hard that she, like, goes down, like, sort of, like, face first into the dirt, and this, like, freaks her the fuck out. I guess as it would, like, if you saw some invisible thing, like, pushing you. Well, you wouldn't see it, would you? You would just feel it. She doesn't really want to tell Jake about this. Because she knows how he'll react. So she does tell him, and he gets really angry. He's like, look, we just moved in here. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's going on. We can't afford to move, so just, like, quit your whining, pretty much. Now, the girls, and like I said, this is not the impression that I got, like, from reading the book and some of the reviews of it, but on the show, it says the girls said, oh, the parents had always got along fine before they moved here, but now they fought all the time. I don't think that's exactly the case. They didn't talk to both daughters. I think they just talked to the older one. Like, and she was grown, like, obviously. So, I guess, like, some more weeks went by. There's more, like, weird activity, like the nightmares, you know, feelings being watched. Thank you, Mark.
Look at
Thank
all this you. Money.
I know. I guess, like you I said, this was a good idea.
What is that? Is that a little cat?
It's a little, or a fox.
It's a little fox.
It's a little kitty or a little fox.
Thank you very much.
It says, good job.
Thank you. You guys are going to like it. We're going to do it at least once a week.
Yeah. I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. Samantha says, first season was good. What pissed me off is they wouldn't tell where the houses were, and they never took you to the real places.
Well,
then I noticed they would reuse some houses in more than one episode. Yeah. And some of them, like I said, you couldn't really tell because sometimes people would use their real names, like in this episode, but they never used the real house.
No,
I guess they didn't want people going.
You can
there.
Find out if you know what you're doing. Like, Haunting in Florida. Not only did I find that house, I went and looked at it. I didn't go bother those people, but I did look at it. I didn't get any fucking strange feelings about it. 6 months later, I went into a damn hardware store, and a guy helping me, I'm looking at him, I go, this motherfucker's familiar. And then it was Ed Dunham. I said, you're Ed Dunham. Yeah, I'm Ed Dunham.
And then I saw you on a haunting.
Yeah, I saw you on a haunting, this and that.
He was working at a hardware store, like right around the corner from our old house, right up the street.
Ed Dunham. And then we became friends. I'm still friends with Ed Dunham. He's on my Facebook page. He's old Army Ranger guy. Became a damn Justice of the Peace, and he'll marry you now. He'll dress up as an Army Ranger and marry you. He'll dress up in a kilt and marry you. But he told me more about the house and what happened there. It wasn't all there in the story.
It never is. Like I said, I kind of want to get into that with this, too, because there was a lot they left out.
Yeah, and he didn't mention much in the story about what the kids said and did and what they saw. The kids were more involved in it. And he was trying to keep them out of it, kind of, you know. Didn't want to blow the kid's cover, you know, whatever.
But, well, I think that's kind of the case with this one, even though her grown daughter, like one of her grown daughters on this show was on there, but for whatever reason, they changed the kids' names. They didn't change her name because she's an adult, but the kids, since they were young, I guess they changed the kids' names because the names they called them were not the names that she called them in her book.
And Ed and his wife broke up a little while, about a year or two after that episode was filmed. So the entire dynamic of the family changed. He said that that haunting in there, he said it had something to do with the end of, with their relationship getting fucked up. He said it was just put a lot of stress under the whole fucking family.
Well, it would, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, it makes total sense.
But I was stood outside of it and looked at it to see if I could pick anything up from that house. I knew where it was, and I confirmed him. I gave him the address. He goes, yeah, that's it. And it felt normal. But then again, I'd have to go in there. I didn't spend time in it. I wake that bitch up, though.
Yeah, like sometimes if it's based on, like, if the people are using their real names and they use the real city where it took place, a lot of times you can find it. Yeah. And I think, like I said, in this case, you could probably find it because, you know, the woman wrote a book about it.
Yeah, and so. In the case of haunting in Florida, that's Deltona, and where we were living at the time, it was fucking 15 minutes away, so I just rode up there on a bike.
Yeah. Yeah, Deltona is not far.
Yeah, I didn't want to bother the people there.
Well, yeah, because
you know, I was just going, trying to see if I could get the vibe off of it, if it looked different than it did on Google Earth, and it looked the same pretty much, but it nothing like. Okay, here's the thing. The house that they used in the episode is on that block, but that's not the house. They used a photo.
Oh, interesting. So they used a house that was on the same street, but they didn't use the actual one.
Yeah, they used a nice one that was on the corner.
Interesting.
All right. The one that he was in was nowhere near that nice.
Well, I guess maybe they're just kind of like, maybe they ask everybody on the street, it's like, hey, can we film in your house for however long it takes, and we'll give you X amount of dollars.
Right.
And... okay. Yeah. So at least they do try to get something in the same area.
It was on that same block.
Okay.
But they filmed it, if I remember correctly, they filmed it in a way where you could not see the address written on the house.
Yeah.
So you couldn't, if you didn't know that street, you would never be able to find that house.
Right.
You know.
Well, yeah, they probably have to sign an agreement, like, with the people that let them film there. It's like, hey, we're going to, like, cover up the address or change the address, so you don't have, like, a bunch of fucking lunatics, like, camping out.
The house that they show was only, like, three houses over.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just going to... Now I'm kind of curious as to, like, all the backstory about all this kind of stuff, like, with how they go about, like, finding a house to film it. So, yeah, okay, so weeks are going by. They still have the nightmares. They're still having feelings like people are watching them. They have, like, all the kind of weird electrical anomalies, like TVs going on and off, lights going on and off, that kind of shit. Some of the taps start running with, like, black water, very Amityville Horror. Although they made it kind of look more like blood in the show, even though they said, ooh, the water's black or whatever. Now, Cindy says she wasn't a religious person to start out with, but, you know, I guess to cover all her bases, she goes and, like, buys some pictures of Jesus and shit and, like, puts all of that stuff around, which if you watch A Haunting with any regularity, you know that that just makes the ghost mad, so I don't know why everybody, like, insists on putting crosses and Virgin Marys and shit like that all over your house, because then the ghosts are just going to get pissed off and, like, start throwing shit around. Like, So, not long after this, something really weird happens. She's downstairs, and Jake is supposedly sleeping upstairs. He sleeps during the day because he works at night. And she said that she heard him calling her, like, hey, Cindy, come up here, or something like that. But when she goes up there to see what he wants, he's fast asleep, like, in the bed. And while she's out there in the hallway, like, a pillow suddenly kind of comes out of nowhere and is, like, pressed over her face and is, like, suffocating her. So she, like, kind of fights it off. She's, like, screaming and stuff. Jay comes out to see what's wrong, but, of course, doesn't believe her. She's like, hey, this fucking pillow just came out of nowhere and it's, like, trying to fucking kill me. And again, like, starts getting really angry that she wants to move. She's like, look, I can't stay here. And he's like, well, you know, we don't have the money. We just moved here. You just need to, like, suck it up and deal with it. We're not leaving, period. So at this point, Cindy's like, okay, well, I can't really live with this. So she just starts calling around to a bunch of churches, and nobody would help them until they finally found this one guy. He was a Catholic priest named Father Thomas, And so she goes and sees him, and he seems like he's going to help. He tells her that the problem's probably demonic, you know, because that's what they're going to do. He wasn't a Warren, but that's kind of the same kind of shit they'll always say. He says, okay, well, I'll come and bless the house in a couple of days. But, you know, I have to do the preparing for it. You have to fasting and praying and all that shit that you have to do, like, before you come bless the house, because you can't just bless it, I guess. So he gives her, he's like, well, in the meantime, here's a Bible. If you ever, like, feel like something's, like, freaking you out or something like that, read Psalm 91, which I can't remember how that goes. And that'll protect you until I can get there to, like, do the blessing. Now, at this point, this is where, like, the fucking rubber really hits the road. Because that night, like, after, apparently, like, after she went to see the priest, she's waiting for Jake to come home. And when he does come home, he's not right. Like, basically, on the show, they show him just, like, coming out of the car, and, like, he looks, like, all fucking spaced out. And they do kind of, like, a red flashy eye thing. I don't know if that really happened or not. And he basically just starts busting down the front door with an axe, like I said, like Jack Torrance style. So she's flipping the fuck out, screaming. She calls the cops, and she says, thankfully, the cops got there before he was able to, like, get all the way in, like, with the axe and, like, kill her, because that looks like what he was gonna do. So the cops come and take him away. And at this point, this is not clear, but they actually said on the show, at this point, Cindy realized that it was actually probably Jake who had done the shit with the pillow. Like, maybe he had snuck up on her somehow. I don't really know how that happened.
Yeah.
But because the way they made it look like in the show was that she heard him calling, but then she goes upstairs, looks in the bedroom, and he's laying asleep in the bed, and then all of a sudden, pillow in the face. And I'm like, well, if he was laying right there in the bed, how could he have done it? I'm not really sure.
I'd have to hear her tell me exactly what it was. Because the haunting, as good as the series is, takes liberties.
Yeah, it does.
You know, they're trying to tell you a good story.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah. So the cops come and arrest him, and, you know, like I said, she's like really glad the cops got there so quick, because it looked like he was just gonna, like, chop her up. So, you know. At this point, she's like, okay, I don't want to stay in this fucking house. So her and the girls, while he's in jail, presumably, they go to the mom's house or the mom's apartment, because she's like, well, if they can do that to Jake, then it can maybe hurt the kids, and I don't want that to happen. So they go and stay with, like, the mom. Now, while she's staying with the mom, she has another dream, sort of, nightmare. And in this dream, she sees, like, a group of people in, like, black robes and hoods and shit standing around an open grave with a coffin at the bottom and chanting some rite or whatever. She tells the priest about this, Father Thomas, and he says, oh, maybe there was some group that was performing some necromancy, demon-summoning mumbo-jumbo deal on the land where your house was. Cindy is kind of, like, relieved, sort of, like, to have this dream, because she's like, oh, well, maybe this explains, like, part of what is going on there. Like, maybe this group was there and they summoned a demon, like, through going through a dead body or some shit like that. I don't know. They're just, like, pulling out their ass, probably. So Father Thomas shows up to do the blessing, and he's like, well, I want you, like, I want Cindy and the girls to be there for it, even though they're kind of like, oh, yeah, we don't really want to come back to the house, because they haven't been staying there. They've been staying with the mom, you know, since the whole axe incident. So, but they do, they come there, he does the thing, and then Cindy and the girls move back in. Now, the night that they move back in, at least as what the show showed, Cindy said she immediately, like, felt the presence again, like, the hairs rose on the back of her neck, and then she felt something invisible, like, grabbing her. Then, as the older daughter is, like, walking down the stairs, something picks the daughter up several feet, at least according to the show, and pushes her against the wall like that, like, and she's, like, stuck there on the wall. Obviously, they're all, like, freaking out and screaming and everything like that, and this is absolutely the final straw. So they get the hell out that night. Now, the show says Cindy and the girls stayed with Cindy's mom while she tried to sell the house. Now, apparently, even though this is crazy, so Cindy and Jake obviously didn't make up after that. I mean, that's kind of hard to come back from. Like, you know, your boyfriend almost killing you with an axe. I don't think there'd be any forgiveness going on there. But yeah. So they break up. Now, Cindy starts working at a hotel nearby and eventually is able to save enough money to purchase a new home. Jake, she actually doesn't press charges against him because her feeling was that, well, he was possessed by the demon thing that was in the house, so it wasn't really him. And I'm just kind of like, I don't think I would take that chance. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I would, but okay. I just, you know, I'm not judging. But yeah, she was like, so she didn't press charges, so I guess he didn't serve any time.
Okay. She dropped charges.
I guess, yeah. And so, like, later on, he was even allowed to see the girls, like, on weekends. I'm assuming it was, hoping it was supervised visits. Not really sure. Now, at the end of the show, it says the house remained empty for quite a some time until a couple from out of town bought it. And then within a few months, reportedly, the daughter of this family started feeling like an evil presence in the house, and the family subsequently moved out. Like, they weren't, I didn't really find that much information about that. Now, so that's where the episode ends. But from what I could glean from reviews of the book, several things were actually left out of the episode. Now, this is just kind of the things that stood out to me. I think that one thing that they didn't put in the episode, which I don't know why they didn't, was apparently Cindy or the kids or something saw on at least one occasion and possibly multiple occasions, like a man in the window, like in one of the windows when no one was supposed to be in the house.
Looking out or looking in?
I don't know. It didn't say. Okay. I'm guessing like looking out. Like they just kept seeing like coming a shadow of a man, like something like that. Yeah. And I don't know if
good love that.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if there was one shot where they showed like the house and there was like a curtain and I was like, oh, are they trying to show that there's like somebody in the window? But I couldn't see anybody in the window. So I don't know. Maybe they were showing that and I just didn't see it because it was too dark or whatever.
Could be that they edited it out by accident or they just didn't have time.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Another thing, too, that they did not mention was that the boyfriend, Jake, was an alcoholic, which, again, like, the show didn't really mention that. And he had been, like, before they moved in.
Maybe she just didn't want to call him an alcoholic.
That's
on the show.
Maybe not, yeah. I kind of feel like it's, you kind of have to, like, when you're talking about real people, yeah. And especially when it's real people who don't want to be interviewed with the yeah. show or somebody that you're not with anymore, yeah. You kind of got to, like, watch your P's and Q's so you don't get sued or something.
Yeah, that's why, you know, when we did Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist, in the book, didn't mention that Wesley was autistic because he fucking hated being called autistic.
Yeah.
He was autistic, though. Autistic and deaf.
Yeah.
But I think we touched that up in later editions, though. I think we put it back in there, didn't we?
I can't remember. It's been such a long time.
We might fucking put out new editions of that book anyway. There was some stuff that Red reminded me of. Oh, no, that was in there. We put that in there anyway.
Yeah.
Stuff
that he remembered. I mean, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Red was a better witness than I was because he was older than I was.
Yeah, he was an adult, and you were like 13. So.
13, 14, 14, I think.
Yeah.
So he remembered shit that I'd have forgotten about. He says, remember when the Matchbox cars did this and that? And I was just like, I remember all my hair standing up. Oh, yeah. I had forgotten about the damn knife being thrown. I forgot all about that. I blocked that out.
Yeah, we added that, like I said, because...
Yeah, it was in there.
Yeah, that was in there. Yeah. But yeah, so she didn't mention, they didn't mention that he was an alcoholic. Another thing they didn't mention was that Cindy said that she felt like she had left her body on at least one occasion while she was in the house. So I guess that was something else that they didn't.
Out of body experiences.
Yeah. Interestingly, too, the family actually had a dog, and they didn't mention that on the show. Usually they'll put the pet in there. But the dog... They left it tied up outside, like, all the time, which, you know, why?
Maybe they didn't want to talk about that.
And that, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And at one point, the boyfriend, like, neglects to give the dog food or water for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I think the dog was okay, but the fact that they left it tied outside without, like, sometimes forgetting to, like, feed it or give it water, I'm like...
Maybe they didn't want to include that.
I'm kind of thinking that maybe that didn't reflect so well on them.
Yeah.
Also, this is another thing that probably doesn't reflect all that well on them, and that's probably why they didn't put it in the show. After she and the girls fled the house, and stayed with their mom, now, Cindy still owned the house, because like I said, on the show, they made it seem like Jake bought it, you know, as a surprise, but actually Cindy bought it, at least as far as I could determine. I don't know if Jake, I'm sure maybe Jake gave some money or something like that, but maybe not, like, because like I said, she had a big settlement from an injury, and she bought the house with that, so I'm guessing it was just in her name. So
yeah, I wonder why they did it the other way around.
I know, that's really weird. It's just I couldn't really think of a reason.
Maybe a haunting. Maybe they didn't want to make it look like they were non-traditional and unreliable witnesses.
That's kind of what I was thinking, that they wanted to make
normal homeowners,
because it really does seem like, and I don't know if this has to do with the production company or something like that, but a haunting does have kind of like a little bit, it's subtle, but there is like a subtle veneer of like, you know, very conservative, like family values
I have a feeling that it might have been owned by a company that was Christian.
I get that impression.
Yeah.
Like, less so in earlier episodes, but yeah. There's even little subtle touches like that where I don't know why they wouldn't just say that Cindy bought the house with her money.
Because they didn't want to go, they didn't want it to look like she was an ambulance chaser and that the man was a freeloader.
I kind of feel like that's probably what it was.
So they're trying to portray them as being more traditional.
And I mean, he had a job. He wasn't a freeloader.
Yeah,
women buy houses all the time.
She had the money.
But he lived with his parents.
Yeah.
And maybe they thought that made him look like a loser.
Yeah. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to trust the story or the testimony because they weren't upstanding citizens. Which I don't really see anything wrong with. The reality. It's just they're trying to make them seem
more traditional.
More traditional, more credible is probably.
I kind of feel like that's probably why. That's really the only reason I could think of why they wouldn't mention that she had bought the house, because as far as from everything that I read from her book, like, she bought the house. She went and looked at houses and everything. Yeah. Like I said, she had a settlement from an accident.
They didn't want to make her look like an ambulance chaser.
I guess.
Yeah. But, then they'll think that you just do things for money.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So what I was getting to was that, so her and the girls fled the house. Jake's already fucked off. He got arrested and then, like, he fucked off and lived with his parents again. But while she had the house up for sale, she still owned it, like, while she was looking for another house. And apparently, reportedly, she would give haunted house tours of the house to locals.
Yeah.
But then she would complain, like, that every time she went in there and gave a tour, like, something would attack her. But I'm just like, well, then why are you giving tours of the house? Like, but she apparently gave tours of the house, like, after they fled from it.
Yeah. Which they wouldn't have mentioned that.
No.
They wouldn't have liked that.
No.
But, here's the thing. It's funny that a haunting would want to make sure that all the witnesses were just normal, upstanding people.
Yeah.
Because if you've been through this kind of stuff yourself, it gives you the experience you need to help you pick through cases and to see the patterns and go through fake cases, real cases, or real cases that have been contaminated, which that's all out there. Paranormal stuff generally happens in families that are under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
Stress is causing RSPK, or recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis, or there's some kind of extra-dimensional being that's in the damn another dimension that's either dead or has never lived. Something is attaching itself to the emotions in that area, and it's kind of manifesting itself. Some places are just bad. In Star Wars terminology, that they're dark, they're in the... is that they're strong with the dark side because of things that have happened there. It's usually never happens around normal, happy families. They're not providing the energy. It's families that are under a lot of stress. They're providing this, for want of a better word, this dark side energy that fuels these things. So it's always families with problems, you know, undergoing divorce, or they're undergoing financial crisis, family breakups, just turmoil inside the family. So it's never a fucking family that's totally traditional and fucking happy and picket fence. The energy isn't there.
But I guess the show, like, they kind of want, I guess maybe, you know, not so much like appealing to conservative values. I think there's a little bit of that. But maybe they think it's scarier if it's just like a regular happy family that are suddenly and inexplicably, or, like, assaulted by demonic forces or whatever.
Or they think it's more credible. Regular people will believe it if it happens to just normal people.
To just normal people.
Yeah.
Like, not like weirdos.
Yeah, but that's who it's going to happen to.
Well, of course.
Go.
Or people with problems. But everybody has problems.
Everybody has problems. It's just a good example. Don't take it from me. You can read Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist. Best example I've found that reading it, I'm like, yeah, that's it. Now, the case is slightly contaminated because I don't believe all the witnesses, but it was This House is Haunted by Guy Lyon Playfair, the Enfield case, the Enfield poltergeist case in England. That family was extremely poor, under a lot of pressure, and two girls going through puberty and fucking just weird shit starts breaking out. There's like one of them starts speaking in a voice that's kind of like Tourette's syndrome that mostly says nonsense. But objects were definitely moving. The cops saw it. People from newspaper reporters saw things flying, Lego bricks flying from corners there. And the same thing that I'll tell you, you never really, the objects just kind of appear from nowhere out of your blind sides and stuff, you know, when there's nobody over there to throw it. But you mostly see the object arrive, not so much leave, you know, just weird. It has something to do with quantum physics.
Oracle said, you know, as a twist, it would be interesting to see one of these episodes where it turns out it was not something supernaturally hinky going on. That would give it a real is it or isn't it vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it might kind of like, you know, retroactively give credence to like the other episodes because they're like, hey, we're willing to like do a show where it wasn't really ghosts.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
So,
in other words, a hoax.
Yeah. Or it doesn't necessarily have to be a hoax. It could be like something that you thought was supernatural that actually turned out not to be. Like it was something, you know.
There are some of the cases are a hoax. One of them, the South Shields poltergeist. I read the book, sounded really good. But then after a while thinking about it, I go, no, that was a hoax. Because they claimed certain things happened, but they didn't take pictures of it, even though that they had cameras right there. That plastic tables melted slightly.
Yeah.
Why didn't they take a picture of that? And then they said it returned to normal an hour later.
Convenient.
So that was convenient. Why didn't you take a picture of it? So they had all the recording equipment, but they never showed any evidence. It was just testimony, even though they had all the stuff there to record it.
Yeah, so see, that's kind of like why. And,
they're supposed to be professional investigators.
And you kind of say sometimes, too, it's like, you know, just because you don't get a picture or something doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It's just maybe sometimes it doesn't want to be photographed or something like that. Or it happens so fast that you don't have time. But when that happens over and over again, and especially if it's a long-term case where you just kind of, oh my God, this happened, that happened, I'm like, and you didn't get a single video of it, and especially nowadays, now that everybody has fucking cell phones, and you can videotape stuff like within an instant, I don't know like why there's not more.
Well, okay, most there of it should is be like more evidence. Shit that you saw. When that remote jumped off that table, could you have videotaped that?
No, because
it just happened instantly. You have only got a videotape of you going up. Look, that thing on the floor.
Yeah,
that just hit the ground a few seconds ago.
Yeah, because I wasn't expecting it to do that. And then, like after it did that, it took me a second to be like, wait, did that just do that?
And it never did it again.
No, it did do it again.
And then I'm standing in the kitchen, and the damn railing on the top fucking gets pulled off, and the shit gets thrown, and it happened in an instant. Boom! It was all on the ground. So you'd have only been able to record the aftermath.
Yeah.
Go get the camera. Look, that hit the ground. You would have said, nah, you put it there.
Yeah.
So you can never catch it in the act. In the case that I'm talking about, they said the table legs of the plastic table melted. All right? They didn't get a picture of the melted table. Yeah. They said an hour later, it went back to normal. Well, why didn't you? You had a whole hour to take a picture of this melted table.
Why didn't they put a camera on it to like make sure like it did something, in case it did something?
Well, they would if you saw a melted table and you got cameras everywhere, you're recording everything that happened, you would have taken a picture of the table.
Yeah,
you would think. You had a whole hour to take a picture of the table. They didn't. It said it went back. And that was just one of the many things that the case was just too damn good. They had read books about good poltergeist cases and just wrote a book. replicating similar things.
Yeah.
But they had opportunities to get evidence, and they didn't collect any. So, and that wasn't just me that said that. Steve Mara. I mentioned that case because, yeah, that was an odd case. When he says, yeah, I don't believe you, because neither do I. And it was because there was just too much good shit happened, and they didn't record it. They didn't even record the aftermath.
Yeah, that's...
And they had the equipment.
Very suspicious.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, so...
And I did. Out of my case, I got... Remember those old Polaroids that come out of the bottom of the camera? That was the highest technology we had back then. Okay? And we took pictures of the shit laying on the ground. Why the fuck were we running around taking pictures of towels on the ground? Didn't make any damn sense, but that's because that's... We were just taking pictures of the things that it was doing. You couldn't catch it in the act. But... I can show you pictures from the fucking early 80s of us taking pictures of towels and patterns on the ground and on the bed and things upside down, like the rocking chair upside down. And it's because that's all we could do. And then we ran out of film back then. What was it, 15 pictures, I think? 8 pictures in the little cartridge?
I don't
remember
if it was 8 or 12 or something.
8 or 12
like that.
In the cartridge, and we only had 2 of them. Them fuckers were expensive back in the day.
Okay, so, all right, so let me get back to this because we're almost done.
I thought it was done.
No.
Okay.
See, well, that's what...
See, there it is.
That's why I was, like, trying to, like...
Okay.
I'm, like, trying to finish it up. But, yeah, so, like I said, she actually gave tours to people of the haunted house, like, before she sold it. Also, one thing, one of the reviewers pointed out about her book that she wrote is, like, it seemed like the kids were always, like, she was always dumping them with neighbors or relatives because they didn't want to stay in the house. So they said something like, oh, they were just, like, couch surfing pretty much for the whole book. One thing, too, that they didn't mention in the show was that, I don't know, I kind of feel like they made it feel like, seem like this was, like, a new, like, a paranormal experience for Cindy. But in the book, pretty much on the first page or the second page, she says, I've been a magnet for spirits ever since I was a child, or something like that. So she was kind of, like, one of those people's, like, oh, I've always, like, seen ghosts and stuff like that. Yeah, so... Also, she mentioned in the book, and again, they kind of, like, finagled this a little bit for the show, her and Jake were already fighting all the time before they moved into that house. They would break up, and they would get back together. Like I said, they didn't even really live together regularly. He mostly lived with his parents. And so, I mean, and they fought so much so that their friends and relatives, like, joked about it. Like, how they were always fighting and, like, always breaking up and getting back together again. So there was that. So it wasn't like, oh, we moved to this house and then all of a sudden, like, he turned into a douche and we started, like, fighting and we didn't fight before. That is not the case. They fought and broke up all the time, like, prior to that. Now, another thing I found, this was from another paranormal website. This was somebody that had read the book and they, like, the whole book, and then they just, like, mentioned some stuff that wasn't on the show. One thing that Cindy claimed that she felt like, not only she felt like she was being, like, grabbed by invisible things, but also she felt like she being stuck with pins or burned with cigarettes. They also said the dog wouldn't come into the house, that she would, like, fill up a big bucket of water for the dog and, like, put it outside, and then, like, the next day it would be moved across the yard and there'd be, like, big footprints around it. So that was in her book, then that wasn't on the show. They also didn't bring this up at all in the show, but apparently there was a little boy who lived with a family in a trailer, like, very near their house, and he started acting really weird, implication being that, like, the demonic presence or whatever the hell that was in this house was, like, affecting him too. This little boy actually told Jake, the boyfriend, that he was going to, quote-unquote, split Jake's head open with his tools, and that he was going to burn down his family's trailer, and that he would spit in Cindy's daughter's hair. Like, so he was... So, I don't know. Maybe the kid was just a brat, but I think, like, she was kind of writing it, like, oh, the influence of the house was, like, affecting this neighbor kid or whatever. She also mentioned in the book that she saw apparitions, that she saw a boy, a man, an old woman, and something that looked like a pink cloud of energy. And that she, she kind of felt like the whatever the entity or entities were pulling, were getting strength by pulling electricity from the house. So that was all in the book, but they didn't mention it on the show. I don't think they didn't show her seeing any apparitions on the, but in the book, apparently she claimed that she saw several apparitions. So there's that.
Okay. I kind of think that something may have happened. Something may have happened at this house. Might have been paranormal. I'm not going to discount it. I wish I was there to see it myself. I'd be able to tell you more. But certain key elements to the story kind of ring true. Now, a person can read other good cases and pull stuff out of those cases and fake something, but I don't know. I got a feeling maybe something happened here. The pink energy cloud kind of reminds me of the blue mist. Kind of. Mine was kind of like an energy cloud. It's a good way of describing it. Although not really. You look at it, you're not really quite sure you're seeing it. You look directly at it, and it kind of fades away. You look from at it from the side, and you can see it kind of. Whatever it is, it's not really there per se. It's something slightly in another dimension. It's weird. I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah. But like I said, they didn't, like, show. Which, like I said, I don't know why they didn't show. If somebody saw some apparitions or claimed to see apparitions, you'd think they would put that on the show because that would be scarier. But they didn't. Like I said, maybe in the earlier... Maybe the reason the earlier episodes are a little bit better is because they were a little bit more restrained.
Yeah.
Like, maybe if you made some kind of wild claims, they'd be like, let's kind of, like, back off on that a little bit.
Yeah.
Just so it seems, like, scarier because it's more realistic. I don't really know.
Danny Ghostface says he bought the first four seasons of The Haunting on Amazon for $25. It was a great purchase. I got that same one. That's that one. I think it's about that thick. Jenny bought it for me. It has all the little CD cases in it. It is a great. The first four seasons are the best. And for $25, that's a fucking steal. You could watch that shit all day long. You could put that shit on rotation. Never get sick of them.
Yeah, we just watch them. Well, because there's so many that it's like, and you kind of forget like some of the details and stuff.
You can just put one in and play. Go play all. There's usually three episodes on each disc, and you can kind of just zone out, real relaxed.
With that nice music and that lovely narration.
Yeah,
like, I love that guy's voice.
Yeah, they say that narrator makes this.
He really does.
In America, there's real evil. Open doors. I don't remember.
You'd think we would have it memorized.
Yeah, I didn't have it right.
We've seen it 70
times. And then he'd come in and narrate some shit. You know what I mean? In the house, an unknown evil. Bill and Jed. Just whatever. I don't know what I'm talking
about. You totally should have been on that show. That would have been so cool.
Yeah, but that was like under the second owner or third owner. It wouldn't have been as good.
That's true.
I would like to have been in the fucking like season two or three. It would have been great.
Yeah.
They'd
well, if you had known about it back then, you could have been on.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we've gone on longer than the actual episode.
Yeah.
Than the actual episode of the show was.
Yeah. Everybody's having fun. Though. Everybody's they're in the comment section quoting from the movies, quoting from the series. It's classic, man. I know y'all have fucking watched this many times. Zach says he'll just watch them all, that he's seen them all, you know. But
I think we have.
They're cult classics now.
Yeah.
They're cult classics now. If you don't have them, go get them off of Amazon. The first four seasons, $25 delivered. Hell yeah. And it's on hard copy, man. That way if the fucking get an EMP attack or the fucking end of the apocalypse, you can sit there and just watch it. Anyway, watch it on a DVD player.
Yeah, so this episode, Dark Wrath, like I said, that's from season four. And I'm pretty sure it's from 2007. I think that's when that originally aired. So I don't know if anything's happened
with that.
They were
done well.
They were
done real well.
So we're definitely gonna start doing this every Monday. I decided.
Yeah, I decided.
So everyone will be like excited about that. So tomorrow we'll go back and we'll do
super chats and everything.
We'll
got
do
a big crowd in there. Yep.
So tomorrow we'll do another movie, but from now on, we'll do a haunting episodes on Monday. Ooh, I think it's gonna storm again. It was a really bad storm like earlier, and it sounds like it's gonna do it again. And it's probably like right about dinner time, I imagine.
He said $25 used. I got it for brand new. It's way more expensive. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can get them $25 used.
Yeah.
Brand new is more expensive.
And like I said, I think the other ones, like 5, 6, 7, like I think I bought those individually. Because only the first four like came in that pack.
Yeah, only the first four are in the set. After then, each season is on one disc. And they're not quite as good. They're okay, I mean, you know, but they're not as good as the original four. Just there's something about it. It's the same narrators, most of the actors. No, I think the actors have changed a bit. But there's just something about them. The storytelling isn't quite as good. Or it's just different. I don't know. They seemed more generic as they got older for some reason.
I kind of felt like they went a little more outlandish, and they also seemed to go a little more churchy.
Yeah.
It seemed like the original episodes,
yeah,
they would kind of have... they would show, like, because it was almost like a joke where, you know, the priest would come and bless the house, and then shit would just go, like, way off the rails. It's going to get really bad.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like the later shows, they didn't show that as much. Yeah. Like, usually they would have, like, the priest come in and, like, everything was fixed.
The later shows were also more CG and special effects driven.
Yeah, and I didn't love that.
They almost looked kind of like a horror movie from the era. Which I guess they thought that was good, but they took a lot of liberties in the way that things are described. It was better to kind of leave things open to the imagination.
Yeah. Yeah, creepier.
Even more documentary-like.
Like I said, it's more realistic. Yeah. Like I said, and some of them aren't that realistic, but I think it was like they were creepier when they were more grounded in reality. When you have like a CGI like demon popping out the wall, it's just kind of like, that.
Yeah, and it's happening fucking a lot, and it looks very Hollywood, you know? It's just something about it. I liked it better when it was the first four seasons when they were a little more simple.
Yeah. They are better.
Yeah. Man said I could.
Yeah. Too bad we've already done Demon Child.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, we might be able to do it again.
Maybe we should do it again.
That was a long time ago. We can do this shit again.
It was true. All right. So thank you, everybody, for dropping by. We're really glad that this idea has proven so popular. So we'll do another one on Monday. Tomorrow we'll go back to doing another movie review. And then Wednesday we'll be doing kind of a paranormal show on Wednesday, too, because we're talking about the British Premonitions Bureau from the 1960s. So hopefully we see everybody back here again tomorrow evening. Have a good rest of your night, and we will see you guys again tomorrow.